restful day. Anyone get a nap? Anybody eat a little too much today? A few hands going. Some honesty out there, a little bit of honesty. All right, well, God was good. It's a beautiful day. Let's pray and ask the Lord to bless the offering. Dear gracious God and Heavenly Father, Lord, we do this every Sunday, Lord. And yet, dear God, I pray that it never becomes routine. Lord, I pray that it's always worship and it's always precious. Pray you'd use the offering for your work, dear Lord. Bless it, I pray, as only you can. Multiply it like the loaves and fishes, that it might touch the lives of many people, dear God. In Christ's name, amen.
Okay, so I'm supposed to say something for the dads, specifically my dad and my grandpa, but here's something specific about my dad. So he likes to say something to all three of his kids that say, so like, you're my favorite 15-year-old. Kind of funny since I'm his only 15-year-old. So I would just like to say, Dad, you're my favorite dad. And Grandpa, you're my favorite grandpa.
Far away the noise of strife upon my ear is falling. Then I know the sins of earth beset on every hand. Doubt and fear and things of earth in vain to me are calling. None of these shall move me from Beulah land. I'm living on the mountain, underneath the cloudless sky. Praise God, I'm drinking at the fountain that never shall run dry. Oh, yes, I'm feasting on the manna from a bountiful supply, for I am dwelling in Beulah land. Far below the storm of doubt upon the world is beating. Sons of men in battle long the enemy withstand. Safe am I within the castle of God's word retreating. Nothing then can reach me, 'tis Beulah land. I'm living on the mountain, underneath the cloudless sky. Praise God, I'm drinking at the fountain that never shall run dry. Oh yes, I'm feasting on the manna from a bountiful supply, for I am dwelling in Beulah land. Viewing here the works of God, I sink in contemplation. Hearing now his blessed voice, I see the way he planned. Dwelling in the Spirit here, I learn a full salvation. Gladly will I tarry in Beulah land. I'm living on the mountain, underneath the cloudless sky. Praise God, I'm drinking at the fountain that never shall run dry. Oh yes, I'm feasting on the manna from a bountiful supply, for I am dwelling in Beulah land.
Amen. And Isaac, I appreciated your kind words for your father. I got to tell you guys that of all the things you sang today, the two of you together, that was my favorite. Good, Isaac, good. Let's all turn to 224. And Rich and Conrad, thank you so much for your special as well. That was beautiful. 224, let's stand together as we sing. The song starts out, I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene. Just think someday we'll get to meet Jesus, see him face to face. What an amazing experience that will be. But right now we're going to sing about it. 224, My Savior's Love.
I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene, and wonder how he could love me, a sinner condemned unclean. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. For me it was in the garden, he prayed, not my will but thine. He had no tears for his own grief, but sweat drops of blood for mine. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. Marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. Stanza four. He took my sins and my sorrows, he made them his very own. He bore the burden to Calvary and suffered and died alone. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me.
Stanza 5. We get to the chorus. Let's do it just with our voices. Stanza 5.
When with a ransoming glory his face I at last shall see, 'twill be my joy through the ages to sing of his love for me.
Sing it out now.
How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me.
Amen. Be seated. Thank you. Pastor Caleb?
Great singing tonight. I was considering the first song that we're singing, there's the words in there, and heals the... There's something about the leper spots, and I was remembering as I was a child that I always thought that that song said the leopard's spots. And I guess it takes a little bit different meaning when you understand that. It's kind of funny, a lot of those songs that you sing as children, and then you realize later that you haven't been singing the right thing the whole time. So thankfully it wasn't anything too heretical that I was singing, but it's exciting to be able to sing together, and it brings back a lot of memories growing up in church, and obviously today is Father's Day. I was able to talk to my dad this afternoon, and it was pretty cool being able to talk to him as I was holding my daughter, and that was a pretty cool experience, and I think he enjoyed talking to me. He was kind of talking to her most of the time, but it's okay. That's what happens with everybody these days. It was a really good day. It was a good time to be able to spend with my wife and my daughter and just be able to reflect on Father's Day, and obviously it has a whole new meaning for me now. And as I think about my dad, and we were able to talk this afternoon some different things, it brings back a lot of memories growing up, lots of different Father's Days activities that we had. And I would say that as I grew up, I was definitely very thankful for my dad. We have always had a really close relationship. Obviously, there were times where I didn't show that as I should have. But I'm thankful that we have had a very close relationship, and I would consider him my best friend. And it was neat to be able to reflect on some of those things today. And I was considering, as I was kind of going to talk a little bit about fathers this evening, I was thinking back when I was young, and I was thinking back on some times that I did some things younger. I heard some people laughing up here. When I was younger, I did some things that really didn't make it easy for my dad. One specific time I remember, my sisters and I can't remember which ones, but since I don't, I'll just throw them all in with me. We were in the garage playing something, and my dad was out mowing the lawn. And he knew that there were some storms coming, because unlike out here, we get this stuff called rain and thunderstorms. Although we did see rain last night, so I was impressed by that. And he knew it was going to rain pretty soon. And when it rains out in the Midwest, it rains pretty hard. And so he said, do not do anything with the garage door, because I may need to come in really quick. And at this point in time, he had an old John Deere lawnmower, which he dearly loved, but it was old, and it was kind of had some issues. But he was out mowing the lawn, and it started to rain. Well, we saw it start to rain, and we knew he was still out there mowing, and it wasn't really raining that heavy. And we didn't want to get wet in the garage, even though we were under a shelter already, but we didn't want the water to flow in a case of a flood. And so we decided to close the garage door, like the big overhead garage door. So we closed that, and we were just playing, having fun, and all of a sudden, something hit the garage door, and it was something large, and it was very heavy, and there was like this little this bang, and all of a sudden, my dad appears at the door, and he's like, "Why'd you close the garage door?" He had come whipping down the driveway, and what happens when you have an old lawnmower that the brakes don't work really well and the driveway is wet is that he just kind of slid right into the garage door. And I remember thinking at that moment that I had messed up and that something was wrong. My dad hit the garage door. He's soaking wet. He had everything planned out, and we had ruined it because we wanted to stay dry. But I remember how upset that he was that we had done that. But I remember how he went away, and we had some time, and then he came back, and he talked to us. And my dad was always really good about coming back later and dealing with the situation. And I'm not saying he was perfect, and it's not like this worked out every time, but he was always a good example to me about how to deal with these difficult situations. And how when his children were showing him lack of respect in some areas, that he always dealt with us, or he tried to always deal with us in the proper way. And I was thinking about tonight, and we're going to be talking about the aspect of respecting our fathers. I was thinking about how I was thankful for the example that I had in my dad. But ultimately, I am thankful for the example that we have in our Heavenly Father. an example that each and every person, regardless of if you even knew your earthly father, we all have a heavenly father that we can look to and that we are called to respect. In Proverbs 1, verse 8, it says, "My son, hear the instruction of thy father and forsake not the law of thy mother." You know, Solomon is admonishing his son. He is saying, you need to listen to the instruction of your father and the instructions of your mother. And this is important for us to remember because in today's society, listening to parents and listening to the authority that they have, God-given authority over us, to children these days, that is not being told. In fact, it's the direct opposite. It's that you can just do whatever you want. It doesn't matter what you're told by any authority. Specifically, it doesn't matter what you're told by your parents. And the authority of parents is being diminished greatly in our world today. And as we think about what it looks like to have the proper respect and authority for our parents, specifically as we talk about today, fathers, we're going to look at a familiar passage in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 3 tonight. But I want to look at it from the perspective of how can we take this instruction from the Lord and apply it to our relationship with Him, with our Heavenly Father. We need to realize that respecting our parents, respecting our fathers and our mothers, is something that God takes very seriously. And if He takes it seriously to respect our earthly parents, how much more does He take seriously us respecting Him? In Leviticus 29, we understand back in the Levitical law that God took a very high view on children respecting parents, and to the point that there was very serious consequences for those that did not. In Leviticus 29, it says, "For everyone that curseth his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. He hath cursed his father or his mother. His blood shall be upon him." And this is referring to the attitude of direct rebellion, of rebelling against what the parents have said. It's to the point of that they are now deserving of death, where they have cursed their parents. You know, we talk a lot about in the Old Testament the different things that would cause death today, and that we are thankful that we do not still live under that Levitical law, because there may not be very many of us here tonight. But we consider that the thing that hasn't changed between then and now is that God's character is still the same, and God's view of sin is still the same. Therefore, if He takes this seriously, if He took it so seriously to the point that it was deserving of death, that means He still takes it seriously when we do not respect our parents, and ultimately we do not respect Him, our Heavenly Father. If God views rebelling against our earthly parents so seriously, we need to take seriously not rebelling and respecting Him. Ephesians 4:6 says, "One God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all." And then Psalm 68:5 refers to Him as a Father of the fatherless. God the Creator, God the sovereign ruler of this world, is our Father. This is one of the names of God that I love the dearest. He is our Abba, our Daddy God. He is the one that we can go to in times where we are struggling, when we're having a hard time, when we're struggling, we have no one else to go to. We can go to our Father. I'm thankful for that because there's obviously times in my life where I haven't been able to talk to my earthly father, my best friend. But I can still go to God. I can still go to my Heavenly Father. But what we look at here in Ephesians chapter 6 is how do we respect our Heavenly Father? A great way we can see that is by how He tells us to respect our earthly parents. So beginning in Ephesians chapter 6, looking at verses 1 through 3, it says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest live long on the earth." Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for an awesome day today, a great time in your word this morning in Sunday school, in the morning service, and a time to worship you in song and prayer and giving, Lord. Thank you for the time to spend with our families. I pray as we look tonight in these next few minutes, and how we can better respect you. Lord, that each one of our desires tonight would be to respect and to love and to obey you more every single day. And Lord, just as much as we want to please those that we dearly love on this earth, whether it is parents or friends or whatever it may be, Lord, help us to desire to draw closer to you and to love you and to respect you. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us to realize some areas in our life where maybe we have relaxed in our relationship with you. And I pray now for this time that everything that is said and done would be to your honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. As you think about respecting your parents, as you think about how have you respected your parents, maybe begin to think about a list. If I were to pull the kids here and I said, what are some ways that you have respected your parents? You know, maybe begin to put up a couple things, and I've done this, but maybe what comes to mind more easily is what have we done to disrespect our parents? Because sadly, I think that is what is more natural for us because we are humans, because we live in the flesh still. It is easier for us just to kind of act naturally, to act, oh yeah, this is how my flesh wants to act. Even though we are called to act in the new life that Christ has given us. Yet, I think it is easier for us to remember those times where, like I talked about with my dad, where you have done things to disrespect him. But I think as we think about our Heavenly Father, I pray that our desire and our remembrance is the times that we have respected him, the times that we have drawn closer to him. But what does that look like? How can we strive to get closer to our Heavenly Father and to respect him more? Well, Ephesians chapter 6, when Christ is talking here, when he is explaining through Paul to parents or to children how to respect their parents, he gives us two key ways. The first one is obedience. It says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. One of the greatest ways that we can respect our Heavenly Father is to simply obey him, is to obey the commands that he has given us. Wouldn't it be nice if we had from our parents, and I'm not trying to give any ideas out here, parents, if we had down a written book of all the commands that you want to give to your children? Boy, if we sat down and start to write out all those things, I'm just beginning to think of these things as my daughter is now getting older, just barely able to do things. She is definitely a little sinner already, though. I know, I can tell that. But as you think about it, wouldn't it be nice to have like a book with all the commands that you want to give to your children? And as children, maybe wouldn't it be nice to have this book to refer to and like, oh yeah, so this is what we do in this situation and everything. Well, obviously we don't really need that, but isn't it nice that God gave us that? And yet, do we reference it enough? Do we go to it to understand what our Father is asking of us? What our Father is asking us to do in order to obey him? If we desire to truly obey God, we need to understand how to do that. We need to know him. We need to learn about him by reading his word. We need to read about his story. We need to read about the commands that he has given us. You know, the definition of obedience is dutiful or submissive compliance to the commands of one in authority. Compliance to one in authority. Dutifully so. So the one in authority here is God. Just as he has placed over us on this earth, our Heavenly Father, our parents, he is our ultimate supreme authority. And therefore, we should desire to listen to him. We should desire to obey him. John 14, 15 says, if ye love me, keep my commandments. It's very simply put there. Christ is saying, if you love me, speaking for his Father as well, if you love me, keep my commandments. The greatest way that we can show love to our earthly fathers is by obeying them. The greatest way that we can show love to our Heavenly Father is by obeying them. We obviously realize that as we're growing up, as we're children with our parents or the authorities in our lives, that the times of greatest conflict is when we decided not to obey. When we went directly against a command or went directly against what we know they did not want us to do. And in the same way, we have that same struggle with our Heavenly Father. When we decide to disobey God, when we decide to go opposite of what he has told us to do, we are in essence saying we do not love you. We're essentially saying, God, I really truly don't love you. I would rather do what I want to do. God says if we love him and we desire to show that love, we keep his commandments. We obey him. Acts 5:29 tells us, the disciples speaking here, that we ought to obey God rather than men. So even when we have those times where maybe someone is trying to tell us something opposite of what God is telling us, and maybe it would be easier in our minds to follow after what others are telling us, we should always ultimately follow after what God is telling us. Because it is better to obey God than to obey men. Because we are showing our love to him by doing so. And we should have the same desire as the psalmist. The same desire that said in Psalm 119:105, "Thy word is a light unto my path and a lamp unto my feet." That really, God's words, God's commands is what is directing our way. And that if we desire to follow Him, if we desire to follow the path that He has for us, we are following His commands and we are obeying Him. And we are showing Him, therefore, that we do love Him. And sadly, I think about many times where I did not obey my parents growing up. And now as I think back, how many times I did not show them that I really, truly loved them. And we think about how now, later in life, we do truly, hopefully, love our parents. And you think back on all the opportunities, missed opportunities that we had to show love to them. What's awesome is that we still have an opportunity to show love to our Heavenly Father. And we have that every single day. And we have the ability to show that love to Him by obeying His commandments. But how do we obey His commandments if we don't first know His commandments? If we don't first know His word? One of my favorite passages I've mentioned many times is Psalm 119:9. "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way, but by taking heed thereto according to thy word." We cannot figure out, we cannot live a pure life without knowing God's word, without listening to God's word. And we need to have that same desire that he says in the next verse, that "with my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments." That is coming from the heart of someone that truly loves their Father, that truly loves their Savior, the God that created them, and is saying, "Let me follow after you so closely that I don't wander any little bit from your commandments. That the things that you have told me, I want to hold so closely to that my whole heart is seeking after you. And I'm not going to wander from you at any single point." That should be our desire. That should be our prayer to God every single day. Saying, "God, let me draw so close to you and to follow after you that I don't wander from your commandments. That I am seeking you with my whole heart." It's so easy to divide our heart, to divide our attention. We all have lives that are extremely busy. Whether you're in school still, whether you're working full time, whatever it may be, you have all these things that are pulling at you. The things that are trying to take your attention away from the Lord. And obviously we have things that we need to do, but is our attention still staying on the Lord in the midst of those things that we are doing? Are we seeking God with our whole heart? Or are we seeking after other things in our life that like to distract us? See, when we seek after God with our whole heart, we are saying, "Father, I love you. Father, I want to keep your commandments. I want to obey you." And just as we should have that desire to say that, and we should enjoy to say that to our earthly father, we should have an enormously more amount of love for saying that to our Heavenly Father. Saying, "God, Father, I want to follow after you. I want to obey your commandments." The second thing that we see in Ephesians chapter 6, not only is it obedience, the second way that we can respect our Heavenly Father is to honor Him. It says in verse 2, "Honor thy father and mother," which is the first commandment with promise. The definition of honor is to esteem, to value, or to have great respect for someone. When we honor someone, it means that we have such great respect for them that everything that we do, we realize is reflecting upon them. You realize that as children, you are representing your parents. Obviously, parents are like, well, sometimes that's kind of scary. My dad always told us when we were younger, whenever we would go somewhere, he would say, "Kids, I want you to remember, you're farmers." And I always thought that there was a lot of facets to that. But one thing was that we were not someone else's kids, and so we were supposed to listen to them. But as I got older, I began to understand that that meant we were representing our family. And our family ultimately should be representing Christ and our desire to do that. And there were so many times where I don't think I represented the farmers very well. There are times I didn't represent Christ very well because we lose sight on who we are representing. See, when we turn our focus on ourselves, we begin to think that the only person we're affecting is us. It's kind of easy to get away with things. It's kind of easy not to worry about what is happening because we get so self-focused that we think the only person whose the consequences are coming on is ourselves. But we realize we are affecting so many other people. We're affecting our family. We're affecting our parents. We're affecting our friends, and ultimately, we're affecting our Father in heaven. And as a representative of Him, as his child here on this earth, we need to realize that everything that we say and do is going to be scrutinized by the world. And they're going to say, you as a representative of your father, you're really not representing him very well. Or can we say that we are representing our father well? Are we honoring God, our heavenly father? 1 Corinthians 10:31 should be our desire, should be our goal as believers, as children of God. That no matter what we're doing, whether therefore we eat or drink, whatsoever we do all to the glory of God. That is how we honor him, by doing everything for his honor and glory. 1 Corinthians 6:20 says, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. You know, that's an interesting verse. We're supposed to glorify God in our body and in our spirit. It doesn't end there. It says, which are God's. You see, you realize that this body, that our spirit is not ours in the first place. It is God's. Yet, how sad it is that we think so many times that we can do whatever we want with this body. We can do whatever we want with our spiritual spirit. That we can do whatever seems right to us. Because this is mine. No, as a child that has been bought with a price by the Heavenly Father, this body and this spirit is God's. And if we consider that, how much differently would we act? How much differently would we try to respect the one whose body we are using? The spirit that we are representing in Christ. If we consider that we are not our own, but we are God's, would that change how we act? In Deuteronomy 6:5, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. Just as we talked about when we're obeying God, when we are trying to honor our Heavenly Father, we need to do it with everything that is within us. We need to do it with every single thing that is within us, every part of our soul, every part of our body, every part of our spirit, with all of our heart. We need to honor our Heavenly Father. If you truly love your earthly father, you're going to try to do anything that you can to honor him. And even as a child, maybe you had the desire to please your dad. Maybe you couldn't put it into words saying that you're really trying to honor him, but you kind of picture that. If you have that close relationship with your dad, you kind of know what that looks like. I was telling my wife just the other day that when I was growing up, I really don't think I needed to get disciplined as much as I did by my dad. And I say that because all it took was for him to somehow show to me that he was displeased with me. And when he did that, it was over. I didn't need anything else. I was completely broken. I was upset about it because the number one thing that was my focus was I wanted to please my dad because I wanted him to be proud of me. And when I realized that I had done something to displease him, it broke me. And yet, how many times do I have to refocus in my own personal life now, realize that everything that I do now, everything that I've ever done, is ultimately reflecting back on my Heavenly Father? And is it breaking me? Is it upsetting me when I realize that my Heavenly Father, that I have displeased him, that I haven't honored him? Is my attitude different somehow? Am I forgetting that everything that I do reflects on my Heavenly Father? And that everything that I do should be honoring him? And that when I don't do that, it displeases him. And it causes a separation between us. I should have that same desire that I did with my earthly father to go and reconcile and to go and get that right as soon as possible. And to not have to go, I hated going to bed when I knew that there was something between my dad and I. That I knew that there was something that I had done and that it upset him. And I knew that there was something that I needed to do. I hated going to sleep if that was the case. And yet, many times I'm okay going to sleep when there's something between me and God. And yet, many times it's okay for me to go a couple days and I'm just kind of pushing away those things that I've been dealing with my Lord. Folks, we need to realize that we need to get things right with our Lord. In order to honor him, we need to keep that short account of our sins. We need to obey him. We need to honor him. And we need to do it because he is our Heavenly Father and because he first loved us. We're not having to love him because we need to do it so that he will love us back. It's because he has already first loved us. He loved us before we even knew who he was. Before we were even formed in our mother's womb, he already loved us. And he had a plan for us. And we need to show him that love and that honor that is due unto his name. So we see how we are supposed to respect our Heavenly Father. But why do we need to respect our Heavenly Father? We see a few things here that are listed more by Paul. First of all, we see that God commands it. Obviously, it starts off in verse 1, children, obey your parents in the Lord. This isn't a suggestion. This isn't saying, children, if you feel like it, obey your parents. Or when it's convenient, obey your parents. No, in the same sense, he's not saying, God is not telling us that when it is okay for you to do so, or when it doesn't hinder the rest of whatever is going on in your life, you need to obey me. No, he's saying, you need to obey your parents. We need to obey our Heavenly Father. This is a command from our Lord. Consider Christ's example. You know, Christ, who is God's only Son, who he sent to earth, he is the ultimate example of so many things for us in our life, but he is the ultimate example on how to respect our Heavenly Father. When he was here on this earth, his life was a living example on how to obey and to honor his Father. In Hebrews 10:7, it says, then said I, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. His very purpose in coming to this earth, it wasn't his decision to do so. His Father sent him, and he willingly obeyed. Even at the point where Jesus was about to be arrested in the garden, he was praying and asking his Father, Lord, not my will, but yours be done. Christ's whole focus was to honor and to respect his Heavenly Father. And we realize, obviously, he is 100% God, but when he was here on this earth, he was still 100% man. And he still had that respect for his Heavenly Father. And he still gave us that example on what it looks like to respect our Heavenly Father. John 14:31 says, but that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandments, even so I do. How beautiful is that? Just what we were just talking about. In order to show the world that we love our Father, we should obey them. And as the Father gave the Son, Jesus Christ, commandments and orders and commands and what to do, he obeyed them. And he did it because he loved him. And if we truly love our Heavenly Father, we should have the same desire to obey his commandments. So we need to do it, first of all, because God commands it. Secondly, we need to do it because it is right. The end of verse 1, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. You see, it is right because it is only reasonable for us to honor and respect and to love and to obey our Heavenly Father. If we began to get a list of all the things that we can think of that our earthly father has done for us, if we are realistic about it, it would probably take a while. We think about all the things. Now, some of you, I realize, may not have had a closer relationship with your earthly father. But if you haven't had that, you most definitely can make a huge list of things that your Heavenly Father has done for you. And we all can. If we sit down and we begin to think about everything that God has given us, beginning with that free gift of salvation, and then the very breath that we're breathing right now, the very opportunities that we have in life, the family and the friends, the church, the place that we have to live, everything that God has done for us, boy, the list of the things that he has done for us and the things that we have done for him are not even comparable. Therefore, it is only right for us to obey him. It is only right for us to respect our Heavenly Father. It is right for us to do so. So God commands it. It is right. And then thirdly, it is a commandment with a promise. It's interesting here. It says in verse 2, honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. And then he lists the promise here that we find in the original Ten Commandments. It says, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. You see, that original commandment, the first one that was given with a promise, is the idea that your life will be better, your life will have more quality of life while you're here if you honor and respect your earthly parents. But even more so, how much better quality of life will we have if we honor and respect and love and obey our Heavenly Father? Because I don't know about you, but the worst times that I've had in my life as a Christian have been those times that I've been running from God. Have been those times that I have decided that I can live in my own strength. Have been those times where I have decided not to respect God. I've decided just to kind of follow after whatever seems right in my own eyes. And those times that I'm doing that, my relationship with God is obviously off, but my relationship with others begins to get off. My work begins to have struggle. My schoolwork begins to fall apart. My time wherever else I'm going begins to have a really hard time because my relationship with God is not right. Each one of us have something different that we struggle with, something that is hard for us, whether it may be a sin or something practically, things that we all deal with on a day-to-day basis. But the one thing that we need to be concerned about, the one focus that we should have, is not in trying to fix these little different parts of our life, but it should be on honoring and respecting our Heavenly Father so that our relationship is right with Him. Because when our relationship is right with God, everything else falls into place. Because when we have a right relationship with God, every promise that He gives to us comes into our lives. Every promise that we find in His Word applies directly to us when we have that close, right relationship with Him. And this promise that God gives us here, that when we honor our father and mother, is that we will have a longer, a better quality of life. It comes to pass in our life, and we can see that. We can see that when we are loving our parents. Boy, isn't life a lot better when you were younger and you were actually in a right relationship with your parents? When you're actually obeying them? It was always an amazing feeling. I would go for a long time without obeying my parents. And then I did something, I obeyed them, and I was like, wow, that felt really good. But how quickly did we forget how good that felt? But now as adults, we can reflect back on this. And no matter what your age here today, we can all reflect on the fact that when we are in a right relationship with God, the quality of our life is so much better because we are focused on Him and He is guiding us through our life. We need to realize that if we are going to have that close relationship with our Heavenly Father, if we're going to have a relationship that goes beyond anything else that we could have here on this earth, that we need to respect our Father. We need to respect Him because He commands it, because it is right, because He has given us a promise if we do it. And when we respect Him by obeying Him and honoring Him, we will have that close relationship with Him. And we will be able to live a better life focused on Him. We cannot listen to those promises of people that say you can live a better life just by being a better you. I don't even know what that means. We can live a better life if we are focused on the Lord. If we turn the focus off of ourselves. It doesn't mean that everything is just going to be flowers and daisies along life's road as we go along if we're following after God, but God promises to be with us. God promises that no matter what trials come along, that He will strengthen us, that He will never leave us nor forsake us. And boy, I would sure rather be in the midst of the worst trial here on this earth, but with God by my side, than trying to live an amazing life without God. Because what we do here on this earth matters for eternity. And if we are living our life focused on God and respecting Him and obeying Him and honoring Him, when we get to heaven, we can hear Him say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." And even more than that, because He considers us His children, can you imagine even hearing Him say, "Well done, my son. Well done, my daughter." I can't even imagine, and I don't even have time to go into the fact that God doesn't even just consider us slaves, which He could very easily. He doesn't even just consider us servants. He doesn't even just consider us His children. We are joint heirs with His Son. And that is how He views us. But we need to consider that as joint heirs, as His children, we need to respect Him. We need to obey Him in every command that He has given us. We need to honor Him and realize that everything that we do reflects back on Him. And we can have that closer relationship with Him because of it. Let's pray. Lord, thank You so much for Your Word. Lord, thank You that we can have that close relationship with You. Lord, I thank You that You do not just consider us slaves as we really are barely even worthy to be considered Your slaves. Lord, but we are joint heirs with Your Son. Lord, I pray that we would live in light of that we would desire to respect You in all that we do, that everything that we say and do would be to Your honor and Your glory. And Lord, just as we desire to obey our physical parents, or we should desire to do that, help us to have even a greater desire to obey and to honor You, and that we can show our respect for You by doing it. I pray that You would help all of us to have this desire as we leave here tonight. And as we think today on Father's Day, and we think about the love of our fathers for us, the love that we have for our children, or that we would reflect on the great love that You have for us and the great love that we should have in return for You. In Jesus' name, amen. Turn with me to number 496. Number 496, as we stand, living for Jesus. You know, God calls us, if we are going to love and honor and respect Him, that we need to live after His Son, that He is our ultimate example, and that our goal and our prayer should be to live for Jesus. It's number 496 on the first. Consider, are you doing everything possible in your life to have a love and respect for our Heavenly Father? If there's something that you need to get right with the Lord, do that tonight. Don't leave here with something between you and your Heavenly Father. Be able to leave here in such a close relationship that we can have that better quality of life as we leave here, and we can be in such close union with Him. On the last.
Living for Jesus.
With everyone today. We're excited about the different things that we have going on at church this week, mainly specifically with the day camp that's taking place Monday through Friday. If you're not able to help with that, we would greatly covet your prayers, and that would be an amazing help that we would greatly appreciate, as we have over 20 kids that will be here learning more about our Lord, learning more about our Heavenly Father, and our relationship with Him. So as we leave here tonight, I encourage each of you to be in prayer for that, and we look forward to the different opportunities that we have there and elsewhere in the church this week. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this time. Thank you for the time we can spend in fellowship together, just with fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. And Lord, thank you for the time we could reflect on you and the things that you have blessed us with, and help us have such a heart overflowing with love for you that we can't help but honor and respect you in all that we do. In Jesus' name, amen.